In the beginning, the Word already existed. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. "Let there be sky, dry ground, seas. Let the land sprout with vegetation. Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let the waters swarm with life. Let the skies be filled with birds. Let the earth produce every kind of animal." Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God looked over all that He had made, and He saw that it was very good. The morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden. There He placed the man He had made. In the middle of the garden, He placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit from every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." The Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he slept, the Lord God took out one of his ribs and closed the flesh up. And from the rib, the Lord God made a woman and brought her to the man. "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh." And the two become united as one. And the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. It is only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.'" "You won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit, ate it, gave some to her husband. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Sin entered the world. Sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. And to Adam he said, because you have eaten of the tree, cursed is the ground. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The Lord God made for the man and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man and placed the cherubim and the flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. The Lord was sorry he had ever created them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. The Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the 600th year of Noah's life, the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the sky were opened. And Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind went into the ark. The Lord closed it. Then the flood came. All flesh that moved on the earth perished. God remembered Noah and all the beasts that were in the ark, and the water subsided. God blessed Noah and his sons and said, be fruitful and multiply. The nations spread abroad on the earth after the flood. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham and said to him, leave your country and your relatives and come into a land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob went to Egypt. He died there, as did our ancestors. The number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. At this time, Moses was born. An angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush, and the voice of the Lord called out to him, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And by means of many wonders and miraculous signs, he led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, They arrived at Mount Sinai. God gave them all these instructions. You must not have any other gods but me. You must not make for yourself an idol. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and mother. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet. I brought you out of Egypt into this land. I gave you land you had not worked, towns you did not build, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And I said I would never break my covenant with you. But you disobeyed my command and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, worshiping the gods of the people in whose land they dwelt. And they angered the Lord. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They polluted the land with murder. That is why God's anger burned against his people, and he abhorred his own special possession. He turned them over to pagan nations, and they were ruled by those who hated them. Their enemies crushed them and brought them under their cruel power. Again and again, he rescued them, but they chose to rebel against him, and they were finally destroyed by their sin. They exchanged the glory of God for the shame of idols. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. Their message is gone throughout the earth, and their words into all the world. But they traded the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served the things God created rather than the Creator himself. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deceptions, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do such things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. We know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can escape God's judgment when you do the same things? God does not show favoritism. There is no one righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul. Their tongues are full of lies. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law is given to those for whom it is intended. Its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The wages of sin is death. But when the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to sin, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. He came into the very world he created, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief, we turned our backs to him and looked the other way. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. But love your enemies and do good to them. Then your reward will be great. The one who hears my words and acts on them is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a storm occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who has heard and not acted is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. The torrent burst against it, and it immediately collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. This was the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. They took Jesus. The leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death, but they couldn't find any. Finally, some men stood up and gave this false testimony. We heard him say, "I will destroy this temple built with human hands, and in 3 days I will make another built without human hands." But even then, they didn't get their story straight. Then the high priest asked Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges?" But Jesus was silent and made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am." Then the high priest tore his clothing and said, "Why do we need further witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty. He deserves to die." And some of them spit on him and beat him. "Prophesy to us," they jeered, and the guards slapped him as they took him away. Early in the morning, the entire high council met. They bound Jesus and they took him to Pontius Pilate. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it. What about these charges they are bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing. Now, it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. One of the prisoners at that time was Barabbas, who had committed murder in an uprising. The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. "Would you like me to release to you this King of the Jews?" Pilate asked. But the leading priest stirred up the crowd to demand the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. Pilate asked them, "What then should I do with this man you call the King of the Jews?" "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, and then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers dressed him in a purple robe and wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the head with a reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they led him away to be crucified. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. "I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They shake their heads and jeer. Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. I am surrounded by my enemies. Like lions, they open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue clings to the roof of my mouth. They pierced my hands and feet, and I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani?" My God, why have you abandoned me? Then Jesus uttered another loud cry, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." Joseph of Arimathea took a risk. He asked for Jesus' body. Joseph took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in cloth, and laid it in a tomb. Early on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. The soldiers quaked with fear and fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was laying." When the day of Pentecost had come, Peter shouted to the crowd. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, signs, and wonders through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen. His prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was crucified. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and brought him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. God raised Jesus from the dead. We are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he promised, gave Jesus the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Each of you must repent and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His dear Son, who bought our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and He is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He existed before anything, and He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So He is first in everything. For God, in all His fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. God made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created. Worthy are You, for You were slain and purchased for God with Your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled. Its main street was pure gold. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and His servants will worship Him, and they will see His face, and His name will be written on their foreheads. I, Jesus, am both the source of David and the heir to His throne. I am the bright morning star. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let anyone who hears this say, "Come." Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. The grace of the Lord Jesus be on us all. Amen.